Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. April 1st already, 2021. Welcome. It's another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. April 1st, April Fool's Day. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of April Fool's stuff on Facebook or any of the other social media platforms. It's getting kind of old with that. Anyway, everybody, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Once again, Once again, it's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the syndicated Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com. Welcome, 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 everybody. The weather's getting better. I'm almost ready to dust off the motorcycle and take her out for a spin. But in any case, everybody, welcome. Thank you for joining me. 7 o'clock every Thursday night is the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so... The George Floyd murder case grinds on. It gets kind of boring sometimes, you know, with some of the, some of the things being said. But, you know, and somebody asked me, why is it that he won't just admit it? Well, you know, he's not going to admit it. But anyway, I'll get to that. I got a whole lot to talk about tonight. I'll try to squeeze everything in as much as I possibly can. So welcome, once again, welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. All right, so another state, Texas, this time, in addition to Georgia, another state has rolled back. We're going back to the Jim Crow era. So we're going backwards, ladies and gentlemen. We're going backwards. The things are going backwards. And black folks are asleep at the wheel. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. I watched a movie called White Man's Burden. From 1996, I believe it was, White Man's Burden, starring Harry Belafonte and John Travolta. You know, in this movie, now I've seen it before, in this movie, roles are reversed. An alternate America, if you will, where black folks were in charge of everything, money, power, judges, criminal justice system. Black folks were in charge of everything, and white folks were getting pulled over and made to lay down on the hard concrete and were brutalized by police officers and the like. You know, and this was 1996. You can look it up. It's called A White Man's Burden. And it was kind of unbelievable. It was inconceivable. But in this movie, Harry Belafonte, was a wealthy black man. And in the movie, again, black folks controlled everything. Like white folks control everything today. And so I thought it would be an interesting movie if you want to check it out. It made, the budget for the movie was $7 million. The movie only made $3.7 million. It wasn't much of a hit. But I thought it was interesting this man would even present the prospect of a movie where black folks were in power, much the way white folks are today. And the white folks were being brutalized and shot by the police and all the other things that happened to black folks in the world today were happening to white folks. It was a complete flip of what is actually going on today. So I thought it'd be interesting, and I thought maybe somebody might want to check it out. It's called The White Man's Burden, starring Harry Belafonte and John Travolta at the time. All right, shout out to Albert Vega. Blessings to you, my big bro. I saw you yesterday. I saw you, Albert Vega, doing this thing on Facebook. I saw you, my brother. I listened to you. Love you, man. And thank you for all that you do. So I ran across a story, and I get things from other people. I'm not original. But there's a man called Kane Mann, a white man. And, you know, again, we're talking about privilege here. So white man mentally was ruled by a judge, Judge Annie O'Connell. This was in Louisville, of all places. I mean, no surprise there. Louisville, Kentucky. The judge, Annie O'Connell, ruled that Kane Madden, a crazy white man, was deemed mentally incompetent and unlikely to regain competency. And she dismissed the case under a state law which says that people can only be held or hospitalized against their will if treatment will benefit them. So let me tell you what Kane Madden did. Kane Madden raped an 8-year-old girl. Now, they're not saying that the girl is black or white, but everybody knows the young girl was black. 8 years old, raped by this filthy excuse for a human being, and cracked in the head afterward with a shovel, which fractured her skull. So this is an 8-year-old girl, 8-year-old black girl, I'm assuming, raped by this filthy white man, and she was cracked in the head with a shovel and suffered a fractured skull. So this judge ruled that this man was mentally incompetent, unable or unlikely to regain competency, and the case was dismissed. So he wasn't committed. He wasn't put into a loony bin, a crazy place. The case was dismissed. I mean, this is after this man raped a young girl, black or white, Asian American, Native American, doesn't matter. He raped an 8-year-old girl, assaulted her with a shovel, fracturing her skull, and he was released. The case was dismissed. This is horrible. This is just horrific. Why would this man even be allowed to walk the streets again? And this is after he was hospitalized, but was shortly thereafter released under the Kentucky statute. Now, months later, he was arrested again for breaking into a business. A judge released him to a hospital after that. Now, this is prior to this. Now, less than 24 hours after he was discharged, 24 hours after he was discharged, he assaulted the young child after finding her playing outside of her home. So he's arrested. He was released by the judge, same judge, and 24 hours later, he raped an 8-year-old girl and assaulted her. Just unbelievable. Now, in the beginning, he was charged with first-degree rape, assault, and robbery because he stole a little girl's iPad. And just unbelievable. Unbelievable. This man, a rapist and a criminal, was allowed to walk out of the courtroom after raping an 8-year-old black girl. But it doesn't even matter. Black, white, yellow, green. You know, there's no way that this man should have gotten a dismissal after he raped an 8-year-old girl. Just unbelievable. Just a the unbelievable example of privilege here in the United States of America, the fruited plain, as I like to call it. It's unbelievable. You can look it up. His name was Cain Madden. Cain, like sugar cane. Madden, as in like John Madden, for example. Unbelievable. Mentally incompetent, unlikely to regain competency, and was allowed to walk out of the courtroom. Case dismissed by this Louisville judge, Annie O'Connor. Just unbelievable. Shout out to Albert Vega, who says you should be fried. Or the same thing should be done today. You know, Albert Vega, if he went to jail, the same thing would have happened to him. He probably would have gotten killed if he's got sent to jail. He would have had to be kept in solitary confinement. Just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Cain Madden, criminal, rapist of an 8-year-old girl, assaulted the girl and was allowed to skip to Malou out of the courtroom. All right, everybody, it's 13 minutes past the hour. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this evening. Very nice day out. Things are getting better. I guess we don't have to expect any snow or anything like that to come, but these days, you just never know. So got a lot to get to. The Chauvin trial, you know, I'll get to that, of course. And, you know, as I said a little bit earlier, Texas has joined Georgia in the Jim Crow retaking of the United States of America. So the revolution, as I mentioned earlier in a post, is taking place right now. Now, many of us thought that the Trump supporters and white folks would violently take over the United States of America. But no, it's not happening that way. It's not happening that way. The states that are run by Republicans, what they're doing is they're rolling back the voting rights. And I'm very disappointed in the black community. I have to say that. Some of y'all are going to click off, and that's fine with me. But I'm disappointed, you know, in the black community. We kind of like standing by in watching this happen. Now, some folks have suggested that the All-Star Game and some of these other things that are supposed to take place in Georgia and now Texas should be pulled back. You know, remember the Super Bowl was pulled away from Arizona because Arizona refused to acknowledge the birth of the greatest civil rights leader in our era, the great Dr. Martin Luther King. So Arizona was the last state in the Union that recognized the King holiday that was designated as a national holiday, I think by Ronald Reagan back in the day. Ronald Reagan, 1980, 1988. And Arizona was the last state to acknowledge the King holiday. So the Super Bowl was pulled from Arizona to be played somewhere else by the NFL. Now, it didn't change their minds, and boycotts don't change anybody's mind, you know. See, you know, because I see people suggesting that we should boycott Coca-Cola and some of the other companies that are located in Georgia. That we should pass petitions around and this type of nonsense. You know, these things don't work. You know, these things don't work. And I'm disappointed in the black community because black folks have not done a thing one in regards to this type of stuff. Now, some of you are probably asking, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, doing nothing is not an option. See, because folks are still, you know, and I'm not the Facebook police. You know, my show is on Facebook. I'm not Facebook police, you know. But you see, when the white folks, when the Trump supporters, I should say, you know, when they terrorized the Capitol building, a couple months ago, you know, they use social media to share information. Now, I'm not saying that what they did was wrong. What they did was wrong, but they use social media to further their efforts to overturn the government of the United States of America. Now, I'm not advocating that the United States of America, the government, should be overturned, but black folks, we are asleep at the wheel right now because many of us don't even recognize what's going on. This is the beginning, the fuse has been lit, and this is just the beginning of what's going to happen in the future. Shout out to Ronald McCready, my brother from the fourth grade. How do you remember that? Amazing. Shout out to you, my brother. Thank you for joining me. So, yeah, so you know, this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the beginning. You know, first Georgia. You can't even hand somebody a bottle of water. In Georgia, you can't even hand somebody a bottle of water or a hot dog or something while they're waiting in line. I mean, what the hell does that have to do with? So you can't even hand somebody a bottle of water. You know, you have to verify voter ID. You have to have an ID in order to vote. You know, you can't. They won't send out ballots to people unless they request them. You see, all of this is, you know, this is voter suppression. This is, you know, black and white fountains. That's what this is. Now Texas, next it'll be Arizona, and then Pennsylvania. Every state that's run by Republicans, and there's a lot of them. There's 43 of them. As a matter of fact, there's 253, I believe it is, bills right now in the Republican Senates and legislatures across the United States of America that are going to pass because the Republicans have a majority in those states, and voting rights will be curtailed. So it's going to be more difficult to vote, and this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, because if the Republicans take back the White House, the Senate, and the House, as they had at one time, we're going to be in a world of trouble. You see, because these people have decided that they're going to take their country back, their country, what they think is their country. They've decided they're going to take their country back, you know, and then they're not going to, you know, go into black neighborhoods and shoot people, or, you know, they're not going to have another party at the legislative building in Washington, D.C. No, they're not going to do it that way. They're going to do it through legislation. So this is just the beginning. And we're kind of asleep at the wheel because we're still posting pictures of how we looked when we were 12 years old and what we ate and who we're with and where we're at. And there's nothing wrong with that, per se. You know. But it appears to me that many of us are not even paying attention to what's going on. You know, the poor folks in Georgia, black folks, are going to have a hell of a time trying to vote in the next election. They're making it more difficult. They're pulling away. There's going to be less drop-off boxes. They're going to be, you got to have an ID to vote. You're not going to get a ballot in the mail automatically like we do here in New Jersey. So this is alarming. This is alarming that these things are starting to happen. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. These folks have decided, they've made a conscious decision that they're going to take back their country. And we're going to have to, you know, deal with this. But this is terrible. This is, you know, it's, first it was Georgia, now it's Texas. And there's other states that are waiting in the wings to change their laws to make it more difficult for folks to vote. Because they know that minorities, you know, black folks, white folks who advocate for black people. I live in Montclair, New Jersey, one of the whitest towns in New Jersey. But everywhere I go, you know, in some of these neighborhoods with these very nice homes, they have Black Lives Matter signs in their windows. So because it's not all about minorities, you know, white folks too. There are white folks who don't subscribe to the Republican nonsense, to the conservative nonsense. They don't subscribe to it. So them and us, the folks that advocate for us, are going to have a hell of a time trying to vote in the next election. A hell of a time. All right, everybody, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll come right back with more of the program. And we'll get to the Derek Chauvin nonsense. We'll get to that, the George Floyd murder trial. We'll get to all of that in just a second. So we'll be right back with more in just a moment. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All righty, then. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. 23 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. And I was just going to say the sun is still out, but no, the sun is gone. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. April 1st, 2021, everybody. So welcome back and thank you for joining me. Speaking of coronavirus, I mean, if people weren't afraid enough to take the vaccine, a manufacturing subcontractor in Baltimore mixed the ingredients of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine together. 15 million vaccine doses ruined by these incompetents at this plant in Baltimore. So this was a couple weeks ago. I'm surprised we're just hearing about this today. But 15 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was corrupted because they mixed the two vaccines together. Now, who works at this place? I mean, the plant is run by some company called Emergent BioSolutions. It's a manufacturing partner to both the Johnson & Johnson conglomerate and AstraZeneca, the British and Swedish company, AstraZeneca still hasn't been authorized for use in the United States. And it's probably because there were some episodes where folks got blood clots. Now, they're not tying it to the AstraZeneca vaccine, but there were about 30-some-odd folks who developed blood clots shortly after taking the AstraZeneca vaccine, and that's probably why it's being held up here in the United States of America, the fruited plane, I like to call it. So it wasn't, you know, because many of us are still on the fence about it. I mean, I'm going to take it. I mean, I'm still a little nervous about taking it, but I do intend to take it. Because, you know, if you don't take it, you're not going to be able to go anywhere. You know, they're talking about a vaccine passport. So in order to leave the United States of America, you're going to need to show that you've been fully vaccinated. I believe the Carnival Cruise Lines is going to, rev up and start cruises again this year. And in order to get on the boat, you're going to need to have a vaccination card that shows that you've been fully vaccinated. Now, some experts are saying that this will only last about a year, that the vaccine won't be any good after about 8 months to a year. I mean, this is just unbelievable. This whole thing is just incredible. So what they're saying is that the folks who have been fully vaccinated will have to be, so what's going to happen basically is you're going to have to be vaccinated probably for the rest of your life, you know, once a year. Just like we take the flu vaccine to prevent from getting the flu, we take it yearly. You don't just take it once and go on about your business. It's a yearly type of thing, the flu vaccine. We all know about that. So the coronavirus vaccine is going to be a yearly thing as well. So once you get fully vaccinated, I know people are waving their vaccination card. Oh, no, you're going to have to go back. According to these experts, for infectious disease experts are saying that you're going to have to, 8 months to a year from now, your vaccination is not going to be any good. Ronald McCready says everyone is going to have to get a shot every year, just like flu. Exactly. So Look, just because you got your flu shot, just because you got your coronavirus shot, you're not okay yet. You know, you're going to have to go back next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that until they can find a cure. Like polio, for example. People were getting vaccinated for polio. We don't get vaccinated for polio like we did anymore because polio has been cured. So in order for everybody to be really safe, they're going to have to cure the coronavirus, not just prevent other people from getting it, but there's going to have to be a cure. So those everybody who's waving their vaccine cards around, don't lose it. Put it somewhere where you remember where it is, because you're going to have to pull it back out, and you're going to have to go back and get another shot. Bunny McKnight, my brother from another mother, says, I'm not getting no shot ever. I hear you, my brother. I hear you. I mean, I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but, you know, it's your choice. And see, that's what I was hoping, that maybe by the time, you know, maybe I could wait until herd immunity takes place, you know, because once we get to the place where there's herd immunity, 75% of the folks who live here in the United States of America get the vaccine, everybody won't have to take it because of the herd immunity. But the way it looks is that you're going to have to, those of us who choose to, not like my boy Bunny McKnight, but those of you who choose to get the vaccine are going to have to keep taking it over and over and over again. So, all right, so Chauvin, so the George Floyd trial is taking place. And I watched the opening statement. I haven't watched the whole thing. I've taken notes, and I've gone back and TiVo'd it and looked at, you know, some of the things I need to, you know, to look at. And, you know, the video, the prosecution opened with the video of George Floyd on the ground being choked to death by this police officer. I put that in parentheses. Police officer Derek Chauvin, I believe that's how you pronounce the name, Chauvin. Minneapolis, former city of Minneapolis, Minnesota police officer. Now, you would think that the video would kill any type of defense that Eric Nelson, who is the main defense attorney for Derek Chauvin, you would think that the video would kill any chance of Derek Chauvin getting off. You see, because in this case, it's going to take all 12 jurors to say he's guilty, all 12. So if one person says no, that's it. Mistrial, game over. Unless the prosecution decides to go back and retry Chauvin again, which they probably won't, because this trial is probably costing the city of Minneapolis millions of dollars with police overtime, barricades, more security. The people have to wear badges and all kinds of stuff. It's probably costing a lot of money. So it's likely that they may not try Chauvin again if he gets off. And you would think there would be no defense, but, you know, stranger things have happened. And many of us already think that he's going to get off. Many folks have decided within themselves that George Floyd's killer won't be convicted. Because this is what happens most of the time. You know, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, and I can go on and on and on. Philando Castile, Botham Jean, even though his killer was convicted after the brother of Botham Jean, the younger brother of Botham Jean, hugged her. Can I give you a hug? You just killed my brother. If I hug you, I'm going to hug you around your effing neck, you know, with this forgiveness stuff and the court bailiff brushing her hair and all of this nonsense, you know. And so now, we'll see. The man is guilty. He tapped his knee on his neck. He crushed the life out of him. And, you know, it's because of the justice system we have in America, everybody's entitled to a fair trial with a jury of their peers. So I'll get to more of that. But, yeah, so I'm looking, I'm watching. And as far as I know, I mean, as far as from what I can see, I'm not a lawyer or anything like that. But as far as I can see, the prosecution is winning so far. But the defense is scoring points here and there in the trial. An old boy that was working in the store, old boy was working in the store. He said he was 19. I'm like, what? He looks like he's about 40. And some of the prosecution witnesses are just really not that good. So they interviewed, they cross-examined the EMT, who Genevieve, I think her first name is, who walked up on a situation, who wasn't in uniform, who wasn't working that day. And she got into like a verbal fisticuffs with the prosecution, because the prosecution, and it was clear what he was trying to do. He was trying to make her look bad. He was trying to dispute every little thing she said. You know, she started to get frustrated. As a matter of fact, when they went to break, she was admonished. She was admonished by the judge, who reminded her not to get into arguments with the defense attorney. And you know, and that's what he was trying to do. You know, the defense attorney was trying to rattle her cage, and he did. And she reacted to it. Now, did it hurt the case with the jury? I don't know. But that's what defense attorneys do. You see, because there's no, because you can't say, you know, what he did. You can't say that this former police officer did not kill George Floyd, because he did. You know, there's no disputing that. So now they're trying to say that George Floyd was taking drugs and, you know, and that contributed that he had an enlarged heart and he had hypertension and he was imbibing with, he was smoking methamphetamine and all this type of stuff. Because that's what they do, you know. That's what they do. You dirty the victim. Years ago, many years ago, when Rudy Fugliani was mayor of the city of New York, and there was a black man, I can't think of his name, but it was a black man who was killed by a police officer over a parking space. And the man didn't have a record. So what Giuliani did, Rudy Giuliani, he released the man's juvenile record. And Giuliani is the architect of that. Dirty the victim to help the aggressor get off, you know. And it worked, because the man got off. You killed somebody over parking space. He gets off. So, yeah, so we'll see what happens with this. You know, it's must-see TV. Everybody's covering it. It's all over the place. And, you know, what I'm fearful of is what happens if they lose. What happens if Derek Chauvin gets off? There's going to be a problem. It's going to be a real problem. You know, you think when it first happened, it was a problem. Now, if he gets off, you know, there's going to be hell to pay. I mean, I hope not. I hope that people, you know, kind of, and I mean, don't take it on the chin and just walk away. But, you know, I hope there's no neighborhood burnings or anything like that that happens if he gets off. Because there's a possibility, like many others, Tamir Rice, for example, was only 12 years old. You know, you shoot a 12-year-old kid. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to shoot a 12-year-old kid. Albert Vega says they tried to say drugs have a big problem in his death, but that's emotional. Yeah, it is. That's big bull. That's big BS. Because that's what they do. You dirty the victim to help the aggressor get off. Dirty the victim. That's what you do. And that's what they're trying to do. So you know, it's on Court TV all day. It's on HLN all day. It's on MSNBC. The only station I think that's not showing is Fox News, Newsmax, some of the other conservative-leaning stations are not showing it. You know, they have no interest in the justice. You know, not for us. Ronald McCready says the drugs have nothing to do with him getting killed. The same old story. If he gets off, they're going to destroy Minnesota. Now, let me tell you something, Ronald McCready. They're not going to only destroy Minnesota. They're not, hopefully not. You know, we're praying that, you know, the people are going to, you know, say, oh, you know what? But see, but this is what I'm saying about being asleep at the wheel, black folks. And you get mad at me, I don't care. You know. But we're asleep at the wheel. Because as I mentioned earlier in my opening, you know, boycotts. I mean, so you stop drinking Coca-Cola. I mean, so what? Nobody cares about that. Just like nobody cares what you look like when you were 12 years old. I mean, nobody cares. You know, I mean, I like what my friends say on Facebook, for example. Sometimes I don't even read what they say. I just like it because you're my friend, you know. I'm not going to say I don't care, but sometimes I just, you know, somebody I know and somebody I like, I click the like button. But mostly, as far as like where you went, I don't care. You know, all right, you went. Big deal. You know, and we're asleep at the wheel. We're not, see, because Facebook, it doesn't mean your face should be on it all the time. You know, it doesn't mean that. You know, I mean, you use it for whatever you want to use it for. But Facebook should be used, I mean, okay, yeah, put your face on there 12 times. I mean, some of y'all do. But, you know, it should be, it's a great tool for organizing, for strategizing. It's a great tool for that. But we're not using it for that. We, you know, look at my son. But no, because nobody says my son got left back. You're not gonna hear that. You're not going to hear, like, my daughter didn't come home last night. You know, I got fired. You know, they repossessed my car. You know, I got evicted. You're not going to see that stuff. You know, all you're going to see is like goody two shoes. You know, my kids are angels and I'm a great individual. I'm a wonderful human being. That's all you're going to see. You're not going to see the real deal. You know, you're not going to see the real deal. You know, because everybody wants to make themselves look like, you know, they're the soul of the earth. You know, nobody's going to say, hey, I cheated. You know, I was hollering at this chick and I'm married. You're not going to hear that. You're never going to hear that. All you're going to hear is the goody two shoes, you know, candy dripping, sugar coated nonsense. And so, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to do that, that's fine. But, you know, the rug is being pulled out from under us, literally, black folks. All the things that we've done, the moves we've made, the progress that we have made through the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, it's all going to be taken away. They're already destroying the Voting Rights Act. There's a bill in Congress right now for voting rights. They're just sitting there in the Senate because, you know, nobody's going to address it. And so the right to vote, now they can't literally take the right to vote away from you, but they're making it harder to vote. You can't vote after 5 o'clock. Now, what if the polls close at 5 o'clock? You might still be at work. You know, they're doing everything they can to stop minorities from voting, or folks who lean Democratic, or people who lean left. They're not necessarily black people, because there's a lot of white people on the left too. You know, and they're going to suffer the same consequences that we're going to suffer. Like I said, first it was Georgia. Can't even hand somebody a bottle of water. Now it's Texas. Next it'll be another state, and then another state. Iowa is already working on something. Arizona is working on something. Alabama, you know, all the states that are run by Republicans are working toward legislation that will severely restrict the right to vote. Take a break. We'll come right back. with more of this show. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Everybody, it's on Blog Talk Radio. Woo.com, the Ron Kelly. It's the Blog Talk Radio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topic you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait.
Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media, LLC. The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All righty then, 16 minutes before the hour. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, the syndicated Ron Kelly Show, I should say. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Ron McCready, while I was on a break, says that the Republicans are flipping America back 100 years. See, that's exactly what I'm saying. Ronald McCready, thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying. The Republicans are flipping America back 100 years. So when you can put your picture on Facebook, you're going to show, you're going to be taking pictures in chains. I'm telling you, this is serious. I mean, this, it's just the beginning. The fuse has been lit with Georgia restricting voting rights, pulling back the making it harder, pulling back the drop-off boxes, you know, scaling down the hours that you're able to vote, no automatic issuance of ballots. I mean, this is all a part of a scheme by the Republicans to push us back into the 50s. I'm telling you now, you sit there and you post your pictures of your food and all this stuff. I'm telling you, unless black folks, black and brown folks and left-leaning folks, not just black, left-leaning folks, get together and counteract this, this is going to be a problem. See, because this stuff is law. This is law. These laws are being changed. It's not just, you know, because it's not enough to try to overrun the Capitol building. They see that didn't work. So these are laws. This stuff is being written in law. In voting laws, each state has the right to create their own voting laws, and there's nothing the United States of America can do about it. Now, I did hear that Joe Biden has said that they're going to, you know, through the Justice Department, they're going to take a look at these voting restrictions and see what they can do. But there's not going to be a whole lot that they can do. This is probably going to, because the lawsuits have already been filed, it's going to wind up going to the Supreme Court, Trump's Supreme Court. And, you know, we just have to hope and pray, you know, and I'm tired of hoping, and I'm not tired of praying, but I'm tired of hoping that everything works out. You know, this requires some action. I don't mean violence, because violence is not going to change the law. But we can't just continue to sit around and it's like your house is on fire and you're not going outside. You're going to sit in there and burn. And that's what's happening to us right now. Thank you, Ronald McCready. The Republicans are flipping us back 100 years. I will agree with you 1,000%. If we don't do anything, forget about the boycott. Who cares? I don't drink Coca-Cola anyway. So what good is a boycott going to do, you know? Because that's what they're talking about. You know, what's her name? They pull or something like that, who's to go down in Georgia at the Fulton County, well, that's not Fulton County Stadium anymore, Heinz Field, whatever it is. No, that's in Pittsburgh. But they're saying that we should pull sporting events. That's who cares? Those people don't give a damn about you pulling your sporting event, a one-time, mind you, sporting event from their state, because they got bigger fish to fry. They're fighting for the control of the United States of America, a trillion dollar business, I guess you could call the United States of America. You see, because there's less, it's their idea, since there were 150 some odd million people who voted, 80 million plus people voted for Joe Biden. So they're trying to level the playing field. Yeah, the United States of America Incorporated, or corporation. Yeah, so that's what they're trying to do. And we're sitting around, and we're taking pictures, and we're cheesing and skinning and grinning on Facebook, and nobody's doing anything. Twerking and all this stuff. And I find it entertaining sometimes. I see some of my friends on Facebook, and they're cheesing and grinning. This is the birthday. This is the birthday. That's cool. Fine. Great. Wonderful. But we need to, to get together and get this ish going. Somebody's texting me who's probably listening to the radio show, and she says, Suzanne Newman says, my concern and hope is that, she's talking about Derek Chauvin. My concern and hope is that once convicted, there is peaceful, there's peaceful assembly after, not chaos. That was just, nobody's going to be mad if he's convicted. We're all going to be glad. Because finally, somebody will go to jail for killing an African-American. So Suzanne Newman, people are going to be happy if he gets convicted. Now, if he doesn't get convicted, I don't know if that's what you meant to say, but if he doesn't get convicted, there's going to be chaos if he doesn't get convicted. So folks in New York are happy now that Governor Cuomo signed the law. Weed, you can smoke weed in New York now. You can purchase weed in New York. And you're allowed to have 3 ounces. 3 ounces is a lot of weed. I remember when I used to smoke weed, an ounce was a lot. That would last for a month. So you're allowed to, so New York State, Suzanne Newman says if he doesn't, there will definitely be, absolutely, this is going to be a problem. If he doesn't get convicted, this is going to be a problem. So New York State, didn't want New Jersey to get all the tax money, or whatever the case may be. New York State has gone on and, New York State spurred on by what happened in the state of New Jersey. The folks who's listening to the Ron Kelly Show that airs on the East Coast, sorry about that. New York State is the 15th state to legalize marijuana. And so here's the thing now, if the police pull you over, and it used to be if they smelled marijuana in your car, that would give them the right to search your car, trunk, and everything else. But no, not anymore. Now, if they smell marijuana in the car, it'd be like DUI. But they're not allowed to search your car if they smell marijuana in your car. So the fear is that everybody's going to start smoking and running, but everybody's already smoking. Just because they legalized marijuana in New York doesn't mean there's going to be millions and millions of new smokers. No, because people were already smoking weed. Just like with prohibition, when they, when alcohol it's still controlled, but when alcohol was banned, people still drank. So at the end of prohibition, there wasn't a bunch of people who just started drinking. people who drank still drank. People who didn't drink didn't drink. So there's folks who think that because the marijuana is legal in the state of New York now and 14 other states, that there's going to be everybody's going to be, it's going to be a smoke fest. No, I don't smoke, and they legalized weed in New Jersey. I still don't know. She was not smoke. So, you know, so that's the thing. But again, now if they pull you over and they smell weed in your car, I mean, you are obligated to do a DUI because if it's, you know, because you, just because the marijuana is legal doesn't mean you can use it while driving. It's a DUI. So don't think for one second that you can, you know, cruise down the highway with a joint in your mouth and nod to the state police. Because if you do, you're going to be in deep doo-doo. Yeah, 7 minutes before the hour. So, yeah, so we need to, you know, sleep at the wheel, black folks and left-leaning folks. Sleep at the wheel. You need to get this thing together. We need to get together. And I don't have all the answers. I have most of them, but I don't have all the answers. You know, I don't. But if we do nothing, as Ronald McCready, my good brother, says, we're going back 100 years. The Voting Rights Act is being crushed right now. The Voting Rights Act that gave black folks the right to vote. And women couldn't even vote until around the 1900s. Women couldn't vote. You know, you had the suffragists. And women weren't allowed to vote in the United States of America at one time. So it wasn't just black folks. It was women, too. Shout out to the women who listened to the Ron Kelly Show. It was Women's History Month last month. Month before that, it was Black History Month. You know, we just kind of go through the motions and nobody does anything. And, you know, and I'm not criticizing anybody what you do. What you do on Facebook, what you do is what you do. I'm not criticizing. You know, if you want to cheese and tell everybody your business, or you want to tell everybody where you at, what you're doing, and who you're hanging with, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're allowed to do that. But I think that, you know, in the course of that, we should try to remember that the rights, your rights, the rights of African Americans are going to be trampled on. And it's just starting with the voting. Next, it'll be something else. Then it'll be something else. Then it'll be something else. So we have to remember that, you know, that this is very, very serious. Serious. Ron McCready says, I believe that's what Susan B. Anthony fought for. Yeah, women's rights. Oh, yeah, Susan B. Anthony. Remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar they had at one time? Was it the silver? No, it was the dollar. It was a silver dollar. Susan B. Anthony, silver dollar. Yeah. Susan B. Anthony. So you had white women who were fighting for the right to vote. It's unbelievable. So in the 1900s, women were allowed to vote. I mean, how in America, the United States of America, women, all women, white, black, well, of course, black women wasn't allowed to vote. White women were not allowed to vote. You see, so the United States of America was like Saudi Arabia at one time. You know, women's rights were restricted in the workplace, in the voting booths, you know. Like Saudi Arabia now, they're just beginning to let women vote. I mean, women drive. In 2021, they're just starting to allow women to drive in Saudi Arabia and some of the other places. We have to keep yourself covered and all of this nonsense. So, yeah, so 4 minutes before the hour. So, yeah, so we got to do something. I mean, like I said, I don't mean to sound critical for the folks who cheese and grin and skin and grin and step and fashion, whatever they do on Facebook, because I can't start because people are going to do that. That's everybody wants to be relevant. You know, everybody wants to be relevant. That's the secret of Facebook. Everybody wants to be relevant. Everybody wants to be recognized. Everybody wants to be seen and heard. So that's why Facebook is so successful. With 2 or 3 billion people who are who are subscribers to Facebook, including myself. You know, it's a human nature. Everybody wants to be relevant. Everybody. There's not a person on earth that does not want to be relevant. And that's what Facebook has tapped into. And that's why Facebook has been so successful, because everybody wants recognition. Everybody, including me. I mean, for my radio show, though, not for myself personally. But, 3 minutes before the hour. So, yeah. So, I don't, you know, some people might be rubbed the wrong way because some of the things I say. And somebody says, there's a, when you say stuff, everybody thinks about. I said, said, yeah, because that's the whole basis of my radio show. I say the stuff that people think about but they won't say because they don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. They don't want to lose any friends. I mean, if somebody asked me, how many friends do you have on Facebook, in my personal Facebook page? I said, oh, about 500. How many of them do you actually know or admit? About 7. less than 10 people who are my friends on Facebook I've actually met and actually know. You know, so, I mean, it's not that I don't care. Of course I care. But, you know, things have to be said. We can't worry about what people are going to think about what we say. Things need to be said. And not everybody's going to like what you say. Not everybody likes what I say. But I'm still going to say it. You know, Albert Vega says the Muslim countries. Yeah, the Muslim countries, a lot of the women, they don't have no. They, the women in the Muslim, a lot of the Muslim countries don't have no rights. And then you have women here, African-American women who choose to be Muslimas, who have to subscribe to the same thing. Cover, I mean, they're allowed to, I mean, it's different here because this is America. You're allowed to drive and vote and all that stuff, but you got to stay covered and And again, not to knock the Muslim folks, you know, not to knock them. Christchurch, we open this weekend. I'll be there doing my thing back on the TV camera, Christchurch, Rockaway, and Montclair. And no, I don't, this is not a commercial. I don't speak for Christchurch, but, you know, I have nothing to do with the hierarchy of Christchurch. I'm just somebody who works there, volunteers there. So they'll be back in business this Sunday. I'm looking forward to going back to church. Year I haven't been to church, so I'm looking forward to coming back to Christ Church. And Pastor David Ireland, I'm sure, will give a special message. Coronavirus restrictions will be in place for those of you, and you have to make you have to register before you can go into the sanctuary. All right, everybody, it's about 38 seconds before the show ends. So I want to thank you all. I appreciate each and every one of you. Ones that like me, the ones that don't like me, but listen to me anyway. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Ron Kelly Show. I like to say it is nice to be important, but it's so much more important to be nice. And then we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. And the next time you go on Facebook, do something. So with that, I think I'm done. Peace.